Welcome to MCBI's 60 Mark, a podcast for curious thinkers.
And welcome everyone, it's Marina from MCBI. And on this beautiful day here in Adelaide, 21 degrees apparently after like minus three this week, I have been joined with a lovely man who doesn't like to be called, no, I won't say that. No. I've got Anthony Nocera, who's one of the writers around town, who's spending a bit of time with us on the MCBI podcast series to give us your ideas and insights around arts, originality, and a little bit of bullshit, hopefully.
Yeah, that's all I do.
That's all you do.
Ask my mum.
Ask your mum. Well, let's ring it. No. But welcome. Thanks for coming down.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good. And you got through Featherstone Place. We cleaned it up marginally for you.
Thank you. I ran from our workshop where I work and I was like, sweaty, so nothing's dirtier than a workshop. So
well, don't look at it too closely, but we know you could write poorly about us in our dirty alleyway. But Anthony, you have got an amazing career, such an interesting one. You get to do arts and make a living from it. But just for people out there, could you tell us a little bit about how you got here?
Yeah.
And what you do now, yeah.
So currently I'm the marketing content coordinator for the State Theatre Company of South Australia. So my job is essentially just all comms and ticket campaigns and everything kind of surrounding telling the story of the show so that people come along. And essentially I got there by, I studied law and English at Adelaide Uni. And while I was there, I realised that I hated doing law, but I didn't know what else I really could do. But I really love to write. So while I was there, I interned at a bunch of places and wrote for a bunch of places and slowly kind of wangled a path for myself, doing some content work and some publicity, and have ended up here and writing on the side and doing my art stuff and kind of blending what it is I like, which is I'm very lucky to do. I know that not a lot of people get to do that, so.
Yeah. So you've got, I mean, that law background would make you a formidable ticket master. So if I went up to you and said, oh, no, you could argue back with me.
Well, I could, but also I just don't remember anything from my law degree. Like, everything has been pushed out of my head to a point. Like, someone asked me a legal question, I was like, I just don't. I don't know, and I don't care to know. I have too much other stuff to worry about.
The power of the written word, though.
Yeah.
So, all right, I'm going to put one. We were talking about this funny little statement or quote that is one of my favourite. Benjamin Franklin said, look, people, I'm pretty sure that's how he spoke.
Yeah.
Either write something worth reading or do something worth writing about. Now, that's a lot of pressure for all of us to live by.
Yeah.
That we have to, like, be amazing every day. Maybe your new Instagram was coming.
Yeah.
But what do you see as the most important aspects of being, like, let's focus on being a writer of substance. What do you reckon?
Well, my writing, or what I write about, is I write about my life. So I write memoir and nonfiction and essays. And so I kind of use my life and my experiences as a jumping off point to examine things I care about. So one thing that I am writing about now is it's a piece called My Hair is Thinning, and it's about the fact that my boyfriend, who is older than me, has recently been diagnosed with a non-aggressive or regressive form of leukemia, and there's every chance that he's going to have to go through chemotherapy and lose his hair. I am half his age and I'm already losing my hair. And so there's this really interesting parallel between us where I just see us both connecting over baldness. But I also have an anxiety disorder. And one of the things that happens when I have an anxiety attack is that I kind of scratch my head and I sometimes pull out my hair in clumps. So we both have these illnesses that are going to render us bold, potentially, which I think is quite funny, mainly because he has more hair than I do. but I just think that's a really, really funny, interesting, serendipitous parallel to explore. And then through that, I want to look at the gay body and how that has always been examined or seen as a site of infection socially and culturally. So I think to be a writer of substance, I can only really speak for what I see as substance in my work, is that one, I want to make people laugh or make myself laugh. I think that's incredibly important. I think there's no point being too serious because honestly, like...
You could be a lawyer if you wanted to be.
Yeah, like I think...
You had the voice of a lawyer then.
Oh, did I?
Yeah,
oh, thank
you. How they do that drawly, rural, yes.
I need to get that beaten out of me. but yeah, I think it's just about having something to say and having a unique point of view to come from. I think my problem with a lot of art and a lot of, and you see this with a lot of television and a lot of theatre, which is what I spend my kind of working life dealing with, is that people think art is going to save them and they want art to affirm what they think about the world or what they say about the world. They want art to be like a guardian think piece. They want it to be a salve. They want to see it and they want to come out and feel assured that they're a good person. And I don't think art does that. Art is there to communicate the incommunicable taboos of society, of our lives, of what we do, of what we think. And
it's supposed to extend us, isn't it?
Yeah, it's supposed to extend us and challenge us and make us feel unsettled or shake us. And I think good art does anyway. So to be a writer of substance or an artist of substance, I think you just need to be saying something that is, I think, challenging yourself. I think everything that you write or you do should be a challenge. I think it should be saying something new. And if you're not necessarily saying something new, saying something worthwhile.
Do you think people get confused between art and entertainment?
They do. And I think the two aren't mutually exclusive either.
Yeah,
like, I think,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It can be art and it can be entertainment. But I also think that the problem is that entertainment...
But entertainment can't... Well, can it be artist art?
Yeah, I think... Yeah. And, like, I think the differentiation between, say, like, a highbrow and lowbrow culture is always kind of shifting. I look at artists that kind of blend... Like, you look at Andy Warhol, who blended pop, and he was very much creating art, but he was creating entertainment at the same
time. Yeah, it was something accessible.
Like, it was accessible. Yeah. And so I think, but I also think being a writer of substance is also making something accessible, because there's no point making an artistic statement if no one can understand what you're talking about.
Like,
I don't know if I answered your question.
No, I think I love it. I like the whole idea of intersection. Yeah. I like the boldness thing too. I scratch my head too, by the way.
Yeah. Anyway, there you go.
that's a different story.
Lice.
Right. And I swear if I start doing it now, we'll do it together.
Yeah, we'll do it together.
But let's talk about Adelaide, right? Because Adelaide is going through a bit of a renaissance at the moment. Mm. But there is no denying, we just don't have a massive population.
No.
So there's no denying that. So, and when you don't have a really massive population, there is this risk that the sparsity of people means that we're just not going to have masses of pods of incredibly unique ideas. Mm-hmm. We're just going to like sort of follow a bit on it, and it can disadvantage us. Certainly in business, we have an issue with that around genuinely new ideas being popped out here. I know probably a whole lot of people can argue about entrepreneurship, which is not new ideas, but...
It is now just a buzzword that people use in the place of...
Wantrepreneurs.
New ideas.
Anyway, how do you stay fresh getting new ideas or just getting inspired? Like genuine inspiring, not copycat stuff that we sometimes see around...
I just like listening to people talk. Mm. I just think people are very, very funny. I'll tell you this story. Jamie and I, my boyfriend recently, went into state. We went to Dartmofo in Tasmania, which is a place that has a smaller population than Adelaide and is a very strange little world, but are doing really cool things. And we were on our way home. We had a stopover. I went to the bathroom in an airport. I was sitting in the cubicle and then the man next to me did whatever he was doing and then just started, like, cheering in the cubicle. He was like...
Cheering?
Yes! Like, yes! And I was like, I am obsessed with fibre. Like, I just go off on meta music. Like, it's serious. But I've never gotten to the point of cheering.
Not yet.
Like, and then I text Jamie, who was sitting outside, and I was like, this man is cheering and I'm done. Like, I finished what I need to do, but I can't leave the cubicle because I don't want to make eye contact. Because I don't want him to know that I know.
But I think if he's cheering, he wants others to know.
But, like, what if he didn't realise that someone else is in there and it was this really private moment.
It's a public, isn't it?
I know, but people are weird. And so, like, this really private moment that I've interrupted, like, I don't know how to navigate this.
You gotta not be getting it. Yeah, no,
so I just waited until he left. I just sat.
Missed a plane.
I missed my flight. I thought this is where I live now. But yeah, so like I think people who are like, Adelaide's small and Adelaide's boring just are lazy and not interesting. I think like the world is full of amazing little
people
things.
People in stalls.
People in stalls
cheering
for their bowel movement. But like, and Adelaide, yes, it is small, but that's a challenge. Mm. Like, rise to the challenge. Like, the thing about Adelaide from an arts perspective is we have a lot of festivals here, right?
Lots.
And people love the festivals. And one of the challenges that a lot of arts companies face is that, you know, year-round, people have kind of spent their money in March, and it's hard to get people into the theatre or into a concert or into a gig in the months that aren't March. But, like, that's a challenge. Like, what work are we creating here to make people want...
Work a bit harder, yeah.
Yeah, to come and see our stuff. Like, you know, and... Or your stuff, you know? So, like, yeah, I think...
It's got to rise to it. Adelaide also has, I mean, let's be honest, Adelaide's power base is still a white, hetero, middle class group of people. You know, you don't have to go to too many networking events to go, whoa, look at us, we all shop at the same place. And I put myself in it, not that I'm in the power base at all, but I mean, it is problematic because we know through unconscious and conscious bias that we pretty much only adopt ideas that look like ourselves or sound familiar to ourselves. But when you have a population that is so homogenous like Adelaide, it will stifle innovation.
Yeah.
And it will actually act as an immune system to get rid of new ideas because it looks foreign and scary.
Yeah.
How do we overcome that?
Well, like, we have this conversation a lot from an artistic perspective because a lot of our mature artists in Adelaide, you think of a population of artists that's even smaller.
Mm.
So those artists are often kind of white, middle class. A lot of them are men if they've had the careers in order to kind of be in leadership and stuff like that. Not that other people can't lead, but like have proven themselves with experience, if that makes sense.
But it is white.
And so we recently did a forum with a bunch of acting students, and a lot of them said, well, what about Indigenous and First Nations work, like from a local perspective? And our former artistic director, Geordie Brookman, said this really interesting thing, which was, think of the population of Adelaide. Think of the population of First Nations people. It's even smaller. He said, like, it takes time to build kind of an artistic language and an experience so that when they get to a main stage, we can create a work that is, you know, going to be exciting and viable and authentic, you know? And, like, those things take time. So as much as Adelaide, like, it can all feel quite insular, we're also a really young city and we're still growing and finding our feet. And I think there are people agitating and creating change. Like, and the same thing I can speak from, like, a gay male or queer perspective, if you want to use that term.
I love that term.
Yeah,
I love that show too, by the way.
Which one?
Queer Eye.
Queer Eye. I hate Queer Eye.
Really?
This will be a very long podcast. You start
no, I do. I always cry in it.
I just think, well, no, I don't have a problem with the show.
Hang on, back to provincial Adelaide.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Adelaide and its provincial
nature.
But, like,
you think of, like, gay men, for example, like, I mean, in the 80s and 90s, like, or early 90s, like, gay men were... like, died, like, en masse, and it happened globally. Like, so it's our stories kind of fall behind those of the people that didn't. And, like, that's happened with every culture kind of that isn't a white kind of middle-class male Australian culture, because some of them are new to Australia, some of them haven't been here as long, some of them, you know, so those, the structures are changing, things are shifting, but it's going to happen at a slower pace. That's not to say that that's not a value judgment or a quality judgment or anything, but, like, it will happen.
Just
it is happening.
Yeah.
It's just it's got to happen gradually,
yeah.
And it always has happened gradually.
Yeah.
And would I personally like it to be faster? Absolutely, but I also again see it as a challenge. Like, I want Like, I want to be seeing artists of every background and every kind of, like, mix being, making exciting, brilliant work in Adelaide, but I want them to be telling their story and a distinctly South Australian story and taking it to the world.
Yeah, because we are. It's increasingly, we're just like another spot on the globe, aren't we?
Yeah, and so to do that, you know, you think of all these, like, you think of the festival, all these works from Europe come. Like, European culture is far and ahead of where we are because they've just been there longer.
Like, they've just hung around longer.
They've just hung around. They've been making art longer. Their culture is one that kind of places art at its centre. Ours isn't so much. That, hopefully, I think is changing a bit. So, like, it's going to happen and it should happen and it will happen and I think everyone will get their chance. But, yeah. And I understand the frustration completely.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's definitely going to, I think it's shifting. And, like, you see it in amazing artists like Jada Alberts and Akil Luig in Sydney and some really great local people doing amazing work too. But, like, yeah.
It's all new stars.
Yeah.
So let's think. What would you tell yourself? What are you going to tell your 50-year-old self? I have a magical power now.
Oh, Shut up. Stop talking. I don't know. I mean, I've never been one to... I always think of job interviews when people ask me, like, about the future, about, like, what do you want your career to be? Like, what do you want your life to be? Where do you want to be? And I've never really had I want to be a manager or I want to be at this workplace. I've always just wanted to be happy.
Yeah.
So, like, as long as my 50-year-old self is happy and feels content and loved and confident and, like, nourished by his working life and, you know, personal life and all of it, then, like, good for you. Like,
good for you.
I hope you've had a great life. I hope I've made a great life for you. Like, I hope this hasn't all been a big, like, waste of time and you ended up being a lawyer. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. But I spend enough time telling everyone how much I hate lawyers on this podcast. I'm never going to get a job as a lawyer.
But I think that's a good... I love the idea of alignment these days where people just, use how they feel to judge whether they're successful or not. Well, my friend, our time together is over.
No, thanks.
We've only got 3 quick questions.
Okay.
Real quick ones. All right, favourite colour?
Black.
I love black.
Yeah.
So underrated. Apparently it's not a colour for all you're going to like to say that it isn't.
Whatever.
A shade, whatever.
Get over it.
Did we walk on the moon? Or is it the world's biggest hoax?
Oh, I don't care.
Oh, really?
Who cares if we did or we didn't?
I do. And no, we didn't go there. And do you get regular dental checkups?
No,
You're
but I should.
But you should, so we should. All of us should.
I have a constant bit of guilt in my head. I should go to the dentist.
Go do it.
I floss, I bleed, I give up.
On that note, thank you so much, Anthony.
Thank you.
For coming down to our little Featherstone. It's been great.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening in today. We look forward to you joining us next time.